Joining us now on the podcast, friend of the show. If you haven't listened to her previous episode, do go back and listen to that, all about the Middle East. But Sally Jacks, TV presenter, is joining us now to talk to us about her recent trip to India. Sally, hello.
Welcome back to the Travel Podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Hayley. How are you?
Really good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, because we've been talking about your trip to India. And when I knew this episode was coming up, I thought we have to have you back because you're fresh off the plane, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, not long back. It was absolutely amazing.
Oh, well, tell us a little bit more about it, because I know that you have travelled to India before, haven't you? And was that a holiday?
Yes, yeah, so that was around about 7 years ago. So I decided to do, I wanted to go to Dubai, but I really wanted to do an India trip. So we didn't actually go to India for that long. We only went for, I think it was something like 4 days. And I did New Delhi, and I also did Agra. So I only did part of the Golden Triangle, didn't do Jaipur. And it was amazing. The Taj Mahal is definitely, you know, when you turn, because you walk in and when you turn to look at it, the grandeur of it is just breathtaking. And it brought goosebumps all over me. And it was superb. And we sat where Princess Diana sits. Well, I think everybody does that now, don't they? That famous shot.
Mm.
And it was brilliant. Frankie Jack was only young, so he can't really remember it. New Delhi was phenomenal. And I've been to other places that were similar to that. So I wasn't as, shall we say, taken aback, because obviously it is different to other places where you travel on holiday. So when they said, you know, do you want the chance to be able to go? I was like, my hand was straight up. Yes, I want to go. And I think, you know, it is just, I tell you what I will say about India. One of my greatest things that I can say to you is the people are lovely. They are so lovely, so caring, so thoughtful, you know, what I see and obviously who I work with. And I think that is down to their religion, which is very caring. And I mean, I know all religions are caring, but they're just so lovely. They're just a lovely bunch of people. And obviously I'm happy to be working with them. So, yeah. That sort of Taj Mahal and the New Delhi was a phenomenal trip. So what I will say at the start of it is you have to do Agra. You have to do the Taj Mahal if you go.
So that was your previous trip. And then the one that you've just come back from is linked in with your work as a TV presenter on the really popular shopping channel, Ideal World. So tell us a little bit more about your itinerary and where you went there and what you did.
So we were due to, and we did go, we flew into New Delhi and then on to Jaipur. And so obviously I'd never been to Jaipur. So now I feel, even though I've not done it in all one go, I've done the Golden Triangle. So Jaipur is known as the Pink City because quite a lot of the buildings are all pink. So you've got the Pink Palace that's got little tiny windows and that allowed women to look out without men seeing them. You've got the City Palace that we went to. You've got the beautiful Amir Fort. What else have you got? Well, you've got so much there, which is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I really enjoyed seeing all of that. Especially the pink buildings, because they really do stand out. You know what I mean? Mm. Especially the Pink Palace. So I really, really, really enjoyed Jaipur. But what I did was I phoned up NJT that were booking it for me. And what I did is I said, just humour me, right? This is my flight there and back. But if I wanted to add on to it, where could I go? So they went, oh, what about Mumbai? And I went, brilliant, never been. Fantastic. Let's have a go at that. And listen to this. It worked out cheaper by about £200 to get a flight then from Jaipur to India and back to Heathrow with accommodation than it did to get a flight from London Heathrow to Jaipur and back. How does that work out? So I got a fantastic deal. So I took all the family to Mumbai as well. So we got to see the Gateway of India, and we stayed in a really lovely hotel. And I'd highly recommend this if you do go. And it's called the Taj Palace. And it's where all the celebrities have stayed, all the rock stars, all the presidents, Marilyn Monroe, you know, you name it, they've stayed in it. Anybody might have heard of it from the terrorist attack from many years ago. And you can actually do a tour of the hotel and see where the bullet shots were. But it overlooks the Gateway of India, which is, of course, where our last troops left in, I think it was 1948. And so we did the whole of Mumbai as well.
Let's go back to Jaipur. Tell us a little bit more about that and your impressions.
So Jaipur was the work trip. And obviously we did a lot of filming when we were there. So as I said, it's like the Pink City and really lovely to see. But what we actually went there for is because the business that I work with, which you've just mentioned, which is Ideal Work, which is a terrific company, they give, are you ready for this? Because if anybody's a little bit like you and I, we're empaths, aren't we, Hayley?
You get emotional.
You might start, we're emotional people. You might start welling up with this. So there is a charitable organization out in India called Akshaya Patra, and it's a charity that was set up 20 years ago. It was set up by a gentleman because he saw children fighting on the streets with a couple of dogs over scraps of meat so they could eat. That is awful in itself. And he sat there and he said, no child should ever go hungry. So he set up this amazing organization. They have fed millions and millions and millions of children. But what Ideal World did is they got involved because the chief exec of Ideal World, and because Ideal World comes under a bigger company, the chief, he's unbelievable. He's called Sunil. He wanted to get involved in it. So what he does, and as the business, they give away a donation for a free meal for a child every single day. So whatever is sold, they give away a free meal. They give, are you ready for this? Actually, I'm going to ask you, how many free meals do you think they give away a day?
So they give away a free meal every time somebody makes a purchase from the channel?
Yeah, not just Ideal World. There are other bits of the business.
Oh, God.
So how much do you think they give away a day for free meals? Because they do this for the UK as well. But obviously, I'm just talking about the Jaipur side because we're talking about India.
I don't know, maybe like 100 or something?
No, 60,000 a day.
Wow.
They feed 60,000 children a day, UK and India. But I'm just going to tell you about the Indian side. So what we did is we went to the factories where it's all made, and the health and safety in there is second to none. And also the cleanliness and all that kind of thing. They've really got it where they're taking their produce from. They really look into all of that. And then they give those children the free meal. So the children have to go to school to be able to get the free meal. Now, the story goes that obviously the children either wouldn't attend school and would end up working, you know, in factories and things like that from a very young age, or they just wouldn't attend school and they wouldn't be eating the nutrition that they needed. So what they do at Akshaya Patra is they look into all the nutrition that you're supposed to eat per day, and then they give the children on these silver platters, they give the children their meal every single day at lunchtime. And the children are, we went and we served them their meal. I mean, obviously, I was sobbing, but I had to walk away when I was sobbing because you don't want the children to see you doing that. It was just incredible. So we got to meet all of that. Well, not all of the children. It was just one school that we met because there's loads of schools that they supply all over Jaipur. But what a beautiful story, isn't it? And what a lovely charitable organisation that Ideal World are involved with.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just so, so heartwarming and inspiring and lovely that you actually got to meet some of the children that benefit from that incredible work. And let's talk about your overall impressions of India. Before you ever went there, did it meet or exceed your expectations? How did it sort of differ from what you had in your mind's eye?
Well, to me, it didn't really, because I'd seen a lot of, like, Michael Palin. You know, when he's on his adventures.
Yeah.
So what we do before we go anywhere, Gary and I, that's my husband, is we kind of research the country. We find out all about it. And then if we can find any programs on non-television, we watch them endlessly and we go, oh, we're going to go there. We're going to go there. And we write a list of what we're going to do. So we already knew because we'd seen it on television, but I don't think you're ready for the impact that people travel on the tops of trains. There's no doors on trains and people are killed on a regular basis, which is sad, you know, coming off the sides of them. Why are they not putting the health and safety in there? People are traveling on the tops of buses. You'll go down an A road and there'll be a cow walking by you, or there'll be an elephant trotting along. No, I don't think even watching the programs kind of prepares you for that. But you're seeing something different. Do you know what, Hayley? You're seeing the world. You're seeing how other people live. You're seeing the cultures. You're drinking it in, apart from the tap water, which I'll come to in a minute. You're drinking it in. And it is just, you know, you're seeing the different religions, which I always want to do. I always want to learn about other people's religions. And it is just fascinating. It is colourful. It is vibrant. Obviously, you do see, you have to beware that you do see the difference between the rich and the poor. There is a massive divide, which is incredibly sad, and that hurts. And also, there's a lot of litter. There's an awful lot of litter about. And so when we obviously went to Jaipur and Mumbai, you can see a lot of litter in the streets and in the rivers, which is really sad. I'm sad that they don't clear that up. And I'm sad that maybe they, because we got speaking to a couple of people without me going into too much detail. The people were blaming the government for not picking it up, because I was in a guy's back garden. But then as we came away, I'm like to Gary, well, then that guy shouldn't be chucking his stuff in his back garden. Do you know what I mean? Chuck it away yourself. So, because there was rats running around everywhere in this guy's garden in a fishing village. And he was saying the government just don't come and pick it up and blah, blah, blah. So there is cultural differences. Now, to me, that's kind of almost training and education. Let's train them as they're coming through school, and then let's get the government to do a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? But apart from that, my goodness, I think it's a little bit like, you know, everybody goes to Europe and it is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. And I've still got lots of places in Europe to go. But if you want to see something truly different and truly amazing, it's got to be India.
I agree with you, Sally. I think for people with a really adventurous heart, as you say, that want to experience different cultures, a different way of life, different religions, something that's very, very different to life in the UK, then India is perfect for that. And I have so many friends and family members who've travelled to India and absolutely fallen in love with it. So let's talk about some of your favourite places or experiences when you were over there on your travels.
So obviously 7 years ago, it's going to be the Taj Mahal. This time, a New Delhi is fantastic. This time, it's probably the one that sparked the most, obviously, was the Akshaya Patra Kitchen, but not many people are going to be able to go there. That's just something that was through my work. So I'm going to go to Mumbai, and I'm going to talk about Mumbai, but you've got to do Jaipur as well. But I'm going to go to Mumbai now. And so you've got two ends of the scale here. What I would say, if you can get a really good deal to India, go, just go. Make sure you're getting into a 5-star hotel, because obviously we're used to, you know, a lovely hotel. And actually the hotel that I stayed in, that I talked about, the Taj Palace, which I booked through NJT. Oh my gosh, it is phenomenal. It's like you're staying in the Ritz or the Dorchester, but you're only paying the price of a Premier Inn. I tell no lie. And it really is very, very upmarket. So you feel like the grandeur when you walk in and they give you the bindi and they put, it was just phenomenal. And somebody's playing the grand piano when you come down. And I tell you something, I think apart from the hotel that I stayed in Abu Dhabi that I go on and on about, the one in the desert, and I always say, I can't remember what it was called. Anyway.
Anantara.
Apart from the Anantara that we stayed in Abu Dhabi, which was out in the desert, which I always say is the best hotel that I've ever stayed in, this is actually on par, but totally different. And the staff at the Taj Palace, I will say, are the best I've ever dealt with in my entire life of traveling. They were unbelievable. They couldn't do enough for you. So that was a great experience in itself. Just the hotel, which is, you don't normally hear people say that, do you? Oh, you're great hotel, great food, got a lot of it, plenty of beer, all that kind of thing. But the Taj Palace was fantastic. And they gave us a view when we opened our door on the balcony. You're overlooking the Gateway of India, which obviously is very, very, very famous. It's as famous as what the Taj Mahal is. But I'm going to be, you're not going to believe what I'm going to say now, for my favourite visit. It has an attack on your senses, I'll tell you. It is quite outstandingly shocking in more ways than one. And that was the slums.
Wow.
I went to the Dhivari slums. And the tour guide that we got was amazing. And he actually has been brought up in the slums all his life. In the Dhivari slums. Now, if anybody knows the story of the Dhivari slums, it is actually the biggest slums definitely in Mumbai. I've got a feeling it could be the biggest slums in India. It is huge. It is about the same size as the town centre of Burnley and houses 1 million people.
Wow.
Now, when I say it's attack on your senses, is because you can't believe your eyes. The sound is poof, off this, because this just busyness all the time because you've got a million people there. But the smell is quite, takes you back as well. We spent 5.5 hours in there because it's so big. So we saw all the industrial side and then we saw all the quarters where people lived. And they've got a great community going on. Obviously, I wouldn't want to live there, but it was fascinating to see. And it was quite... it was shocking, but at the same time, you're like, wow, how do these people... And there's little houses that'll house like, you know, 5 or 8 people that only have one room and maybe a back room. And they're shoulder to shoulder, like really tiny, shoulder to shoulder to shoulder to shoulder, down these little dark alleyways where you can't see. The electrics are just hanging. I mean, an electrician for health and safety in England would have a field day. You know, and he's going, well, no electric ever goes down. And Gary and I say, what? We can believe it. But guess what? They can order an Amazon delivery and it'll get to their house.
You said that. And didn't you say you a millionaire that still live?
I met a millionaire. I bought a handbag off him.
Wow.
I bought a handbag off this millionaire. And actually the bit that I visited in that where the millionaire was, where I went to a shop and bought the handbag. They were telling us that James May had been there like maybe 6 months earlier or a year earlier. So we watched the James May and he'd been in the same kind of shop and the same bit where they press and emboss the leather and they dye the leather. It was phenomenal to see, but they're using old equipment all the time. You're also going down alleyways where you're seeing the recycling and there's men on the floor with toys in front of them and all they're doing, it's not going through a machine, they're choosing with their hands which ones can be recycled and which ones can't. So that was the industrial side. And there's so much industry there. And I was told, whether this is to be believed, and obviously I can't give you any names, but I was told, if it can be believed, that they actually make in the Dhivari slums leather goods for a very high-end American fashion house. That's what I was told. Now, obviously, I've not seen that route to market, but that's what I was told when I was there. Now, that was incredibly congested. Definitely had health and safety issues, but obviously they don't have the health and safety out there. And they take people in to work, but they house them on the slums. And then we also saw the slums had, now this is the shocking part. The slums had schools, private schools. They had hospitals. They had wedding venues. They had like places for kids to play football. They had gold shops selling real gold. They had flower markets. They had vegetable markets. I mean, I've never seen anything. I never expected that kind of what we saw. And that will stay with me for life. Now, my son, when we went to the industrial, because I took him, he's 9. When we went to the industrial part, he's like, Mummy, I don't like it. He wasn't so keen to start off with, but then he obviously got used to it. because it is very different. But it's, I will tell you now, if you go to India and don't see the slums, you are missing out big time.
Wow. And did you see a lot of tourists there? And you said, obviously, you can get a guide who will explain and talk you through the culture.
Yes, so we got the guide from the Taj Palace. I've got his details if anybody wants them.
Sally Jack's TV mum.
So I've got the, because he was so good. He was a Muslim man. So 26% of people that live in the slums, in Diwali slums, 26% are Muslim. And then I booked him for the next 3 days that we were in Mumbai because he was so good at giving us all the information. And the day after, he took us to the fish market. So we had to be up at 5:30. We had to be on the docks for 6 o'clock. And no tourists were there at all. You're in proper bumbling, an area where this is why I love them so much, because he was taking us to really, he weren't just taking us to the normal touristy places, real like noise and rah, 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 because you're at market, because the fish is coming off the boats and it's being sold to the people that then are going to sell it to the shops. So you're right in the heart of industry. It's absolutely stunk to high heaven. You had to get used to the smell, and they're running past you with these big carts and they're shouting like, move out the way. But I don't speak Hindi, and it was just fascinating. But we weren't allowed to take any footage around there, which I was really disappointed about. So we sneakily got a couple of pictures, but that's it. But you're seeing great big stingray, prawns, red snapper, sea bass. Catfish, you've seen all sorts come off, in its big form, and the ladies are sat there, so the men are bringing it off the boats, and the women are selling it on, and like a market stall where they're basically they're haggling for the best price. That's what they're doing. That was fascinating as well. I saw some brilliant stuff when I was there. It's not a trip you're going to go on to lounge by the beach. It's not that kind of trip. You go to experience life. And my saying is, life's not a dress rehearsal. We can all sit by a pool. One pool looks very similar to another, whether you're in Devon or whether you're in Spain or whether you're in Mumbai, they all look the same. What you've got to do in life is see and live and look at the cultures and how other people, those memories will stay with me forever. So, if you go to India, get out, go and see things, look at what's available for you, and, do go and meet and see what's going on. The traffic is flipping phenomenal. Oh my word. And then a cow will come past you. It's quite remarkable. Now, tuk-tuks were available in Jaipur, but they've actually stopped tuk-tuks in Mumbai because the traffic is so busy. But everybody there's no rules. Everybody just honks and they move out of the way, and they're terribly, they're terribly polite in their bad driving. Because I know, in the way, I was like, flipping it, you do that manoeuvre in England and there's definitely a policeman that's going to pull you over. Hayley, I can't even tell you. Oh, by the way, in the slums, there was churches, there was mosques, and there was also Hindi temples as well.
Oh, isn't that lovely that they can all worship together in peace and have that sense of community and what they lack in material wealth and the quality and the standards we have over here. You can see there's a beauty there must have been in that sense of community and pride from where they were from, even though they had challenging circumstances, and making the best of what they had and turning it into something that's really unique and special. So yeah, I mean, I'm gonna have to book a trip to India, because it just sounds like one of those must-see experiences.
Memorable. In your life. Don't drink the tap water. Don't have any ice. Don't eat the salad. And make sure you don't eat the street food, because you don't want deli belly. Make sure you stacked up with your Imodium and your Duralite when you go, just in case. And always have your bottle of water. That's the biggest tip that I can give you. Oh, and the next one, don't ever, ever brush your teeth in the tap water.
So there's some great tips there, Sally, about what to avoid, and everyone should take note. But let's talk about the food, because as you said, you stayed in these fantastic hotels. So did you experience the Indian food while you were there? Try anything new?
Yes, of course, because you've got to. It's a bit like that thing that I go back to saying, life's not a dress rehearsal. The food is that cheap. If you don't like it, send it back and get something else, as far as I'm concerned, because it's pittance. For me, we did eat in the hotel. We were very careful where we did eat, and we got recommendations, so I'd suggest that. On YouTube, there's some amazing stuff about the street food, and let me tell you, I was chomping at the bit to try the street food. I really did, but it's best not to if you want to enjoy your trip and not end up in your hotel for a day to 4 days. So for me, yes, we did get out and try it. Now, you've got to think, did you know that the most eaten takeaway in the UK is Indian? So many people have experienced Indian takeaways. So yes, it can be slightly different, but you get to enjoy all the spices and all things like that. They'll tell you whether it's, hot or not. So yes, I did get to try it. And one of the dishes that I had that was near the Amir Fort, which was in Jaipur, was my favorite dish of the whole holiday. Now, when we got taken there by work, so work knew about this restaurant. By looking at it, I wouldn't have chosen it. But none of us were ill. I didn't have deli belly for 10 days. Neither did my son, neither did my husband. And we ate. And honestly, I can promise you and tell you this, hand on heart, that was the best meal I'd had all holiday. It was delicious.
So, Sally, it's clear that the trips that you've had to India, and this one in particular, have left you with memories that last a lifetime. We've covered so much about the diversity of what you experience, from the luxury, from the beautiful hotel, obviously the all of the history, the culture, meeting the people, trying the food. Is there anything else that you experienced while you're there that really is a must-see, must-do, or really stands out?
Very much so. There's one day in particular that stands out in all our minds and will be with us forever. And that is, if the English were pronouncing it, it would be Holy Day. But as the Indians pronounce it, it's Holy Day. Because I've often said it to people that I work with, and they've gone, what? And then they've gone, oh, Holy Day. Okay, so I'm saying it wrong. And that is the turn of into spring. Now, you've got to check your diary for this one, because this is not going to be available all year round. It only runs over a weekend. And obviously, we arrived on the 22nd, and we did Holy Day on the 26th, which was the Monday. We got traditional dress for this. You don't need to. But if you are going, you need the scraggiest clothes that you've ever you've got left in your wardrobe, because you are going to get the filthiest you've ever seen. This is the splash of colour. You know when they throw paint, but this is like a powdery paint at each other, and they wipe it on your face. So I took a white outfit with me, but I ended up buying traditional dress when I was there, not for my husband, but for my son and I. And obviously, if you've got blonde hair, this is a massive top tip. You do need to take like a swimming cap, because you need to cover, because it will dye your hair, because obviously your hair is more porous and it'll stick onto it. So I had that. I had this swimming cap on, and everybody's going, what? But I was so glad afterwards, because one of my colleagues, he's got kind of mousy brown hair. The pink dye stayed in his hair for about 3 weeks. So I was so glad that I did that. But this was just coming together as a community. So work set this up. So it was in one of like work's head offices in Jaipur. We had such a good time. Indian music was playing. We were all chucking paint at each other. So we were all covered in paint. My husband had this bright green hair and like pink on his nose, yellow on his cheeks. My son thought it was utterly hilarious, and he loved it. And then what they brought round afterwards was special pastries that they give out on that particular, well, they eat them all year round, but they give out on that particular day. And then we actually saw they burn like bonfires all over India on their Holy Day. So it goes over a weekend, but there's one particular day that is Holy Day. And I believe that was the 26th when we were there. And obviously, do you know about the cow being so sacred to them? So they get cow dung and they put it on the bonfire, and then they sprinkle, they sprinkle the bonfire with cow urine. Women go round sprinkling it. And I've got some footage, some great footage of that, which was just remarkable. And it's just, this is a day, and it goes back to ancient times, and it's about good conquering evil. That in a nutshell, I won't go into the details, but it's about good conquering evil, and it's about welcoming in the springtime. If we could bring it over here, I would love to do it, because because obviously you're only going to get that one day of the year. You've got to check when you're going to be able to get that. It's not something that you can turn up and, you know, and see like the Gateway of India or the Taj Mahal. You have to book, and it's got to be kind of March going into April. There's a particular weekend to go over. So that's the most memorable, probably the most memorable day out of the whole thing, because my son was just laughing all day and it was lovely to see.
Oh, Sally, well, thank you so much. You have painted such a exciting, vibrant picture of what India is like, and why our listeners should definitely consider it for a once in a lifetime trip that does sound life-changing, with memories that will just stay with you forever.
Why would we want to live on this planet and not visit? You know, we all go to Spain on a regular basis, or Devon, or France. You know, some of us fly to America. Why wouldn't you want to go? You've got to go. You've got to experience it. It's just so mind-blowing, not just on the senses, but on your pictures, your videos, and you come back and then you speak to people about it. And what's so lovely is you speak, have you been to India? Like, have you been to, like, you know, I'm not knocking them, but if we go to Marbella on a regular basis, but if you go to Marbella, if you go to, you know, the south of France or whatever, all right, have you had a nice time? Yeah. You've been to India. Oh, it's just something that's so different, isn't it? And we watch these programs on television. Of this great one on Joanna Lumley that you can watch, where she's visiting, because obviously she was born and bred there, wasn't she, until I think she was either 2 or 4 years old. And, you know, because her father, I think, was in the army. And she, we watched it before we went, and then we watched it when we came back. We saw a completely different perspective on it. Because when she's in there, we're going, oh my gosh, we know how that feels. We know how that smells. We know what that sounds like. You've got to go.
Oh, Sally, amazing. I'm so glad you had such a lovely time. And thank you for taking time out of your really busy schedule to join us on the Travel Podcast. I'm sure it won't be the last time we have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.